I'm excited for what God is doing. And yeah, we just bless our children today. God, be with them. And just thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. Just a couple quick announcements, and we'll just jump into this. We got a men's group that's been going. It's every other Monday in Crowley Lake at Father's Heart Lodge, and Dennis and Richard are helping to head that up. And so it's every other Monday, and it'll be happening tomorrow. And so if you're a man or you know a man, they need to come to that. It's a good stuff, good time of getting in the Word and fellowship and just being together. The Bible says iron sharpens iron as one man sharpens another. So it's good stuff. And for all those that are not here, just tell a guy that's not here when, you know, I know there's people traveling and on vacation and doing different stuff, but it's important to go to stuff like this. It's really good. And then today, say today, it's October 17th, and we're going to have, boom, there it is, the kind of the official, we've been meeting the last 3 or 4 weeks, kind of on the down low, just kind of meeting down there, and then we just decided just to have kind of an official day where we would just, we didn't put it in the newspaper or anything, but we're just starting to tell a little bit more people, and we're just going to have a good time, and so 4 o'clock at Bishop COTM, and it's going to be wild. It's going to be great. It's going to be full of Him. Amen. And we're going to have a Holy Smoke Barbecue is going to be there. They're going to be catering it, and it's going to be awesome. And we'll have some goodies. We'll have some awesome worship and some prayer fellowship, and it's just going to be a wonderful time. So I know we're sparse today, but go be there and call somebody, and especially we don't want to just recycle Christians. I want the lost, and that's really the heart. And so we want people that are unchurched, and we want people that are offended and haven't been to church in years. And those are the ones that we're after. And so call somebody today and tell them, hey, today, 4 o'clock, be there. This is for you. Amen. Because we believe the church is the answer throughout the entire state and throughout this entire region. The church is the answer, and so we need to rise up. And so good stuff. Amen. And Dominic, why don't you just give us a quick commercial on Tuesday, Wednesday prayer.
Praise God. Woo! We pray just to make it today. Remember that MC Hammer song? Oh man. So Tuesdays we come and we pray here. And let me just tell you the format real quick. Tuesdays we pray in Bishop. Wednesday we pray here, 6 to 8. And let me just give you the quick format. The first hour we come in, we put music on. If Justin Bell's playing, he'll be playing. Or we'll just put music on. And this is a time for you to really have that time with the Lord. It's personal and private, but we're doing it corporately. And that first hour, we really encourage you to get into the Word, whether just pray in the Holy Ghost under your breath. Try not to draw too much attention to yourself, but we really want to facilitate your union with the Father. Amen. And that is that's what prayer is us coming to Him. But we also have corporate prayer. And so the second hour we get together and we just start, we bust a hole through the veil of the flesh. We bust a hole over the heavens. Listen, you got to do that sometimes. We came this morning, we pray. We pray in the mornings too, okay? 9:15 before service, and we'll pray 3:15 down in Bishop before service. And we prepare the atmosphere. But there's a lot of things that have been birthed through prayer. We've been here for a year praying, and so far we have seen fruit, and we are so happy to see God answer our prayers. And we join with you and your faith, and if you need something from the Lord, I have seen people get healed. Somebody got healed of cancer, amen, in prayer. People's backs have been healed in prayer. People have come back to the Lord, come weeping and just like messed up. People have been Christians for years and said, I never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Man, what? Stand up. boom, fire, and they get healed, and they get filled, and they start speaking in tongues, take them to a whole new level, power, and they start going out and witnessing like they'd never known before. This is a place where you come, and God is a safe place without judgment, and you are free to let God use your gifts. And if you're looking for a safe place to begin to grow in the Lord, and you want fruit to begin to manifest in your life, you need to pray. All right. So we're also praying for this to continue on after our departure from here. So this is something that needs to continually always be. Amen. Amen. This is your funnel from heaven to earth. Prayer. Right. Right. It's the avenue. It's the freeway. We got 395 bringing resources from down south all the way up north. All that stuff down from LA. It's the pipeline of resources from heaven to earth, and we have to continue to facilitate that. Not to mention the shield, the spiritual warfare. Some of the attacks come just because you sat down and didn't speak the word, confess the word. We're here to help you with that and build you up into enough strength where you can begin to take your family back for Jesus, to bind depression and break that ceiling that's over your life or your family's life, that cloud that hovers over your home. You can speak to it, but you need sometimes somebody to hold your hand and pick you up and say, this is how you do it. You get back in there and get victory. Amen? Amen. All right.
Come on, bro. Come on. That's awesome. And Dominic, he's going to be preaching next Sunday right here. So it's going to be good. So bring somebody. He's got the fire. And I just want to, we got a pastor from Puerto Rico. Come on. We're so honored to have you and your family, and God bless you. We're going to talk more after the service, but we love meeting people from all over the world, and so happy that you're with us today. God bless you. Are you guys excited? Are you alive? Awesome. If you have a neighbor, just give them a little shake. Tell them they look good. If you don't have a neighbor, just shake yourself. And let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. Thank you so much, God, for your goodness in the land of the living. Jesus, I thank you that you're here right now. Lord, you're walking amongst your people. You're moving in this room, God. No matter how many are here, you're here. And Lord, we worship for an audience of one. We love you. We worship you. We lean into you right now, Jesus. And we thank you. Holy Spirit, have your way. Have your way. Fall in this place. We love you. We love you. We love you. We worship you. We honor you in Jesus' holy name. And everybody said, amen. You can turn in your Bibles to the book of James. I have a message, and I felt like this was important. We were talking about something over the last few weeks. How many enjoyed the message last week with Tom Hosepian? It's good stuff, so good. I listened to it. It was powerful. Good history lesson on Church on the Mountain, and it was just good. It was just full of faith and full of love and honor, and I think that is the heart of the Lord. And but before that, the last few weeks before that, I was in a series called Don't Drink the Poison. Come on, somebody. Don't drink the poison. And I have something that kind of piggyback off of that a little bit, because I feel like it's just so prevalent, and it's so now in our culture, and it's everywhere in our face, and with cancel culture, and with people just getting so offended and getting so angry. And so I feel like I just need to talk a little bit more about this. And what I want to talk today about specifically is how to diffuse a spirit of offense. Come on, somebody. We talked a couple of weeks ago. We talked about pouring it out, because we always have these glasses in front of us, these cups of offense. And what we have to do is not drink from the cup of offense, but begin to pour it out, and just so you don't have anything to drink from. But there's something more going on here that I feel like is important. In Proverbs 19, I just read a couple of scriptures, and we'll jump into this. Proverbs 19:11 says a person's wisdom yields patience. Say patience. And it is to one's glory to overlook an offense. Hallelujah. Proverbs 18:19, a brother offended is harder to win than a strong city, and contentions are like the bars of a castle. I don't want to be that brother that's harder to win than a strong city. I don't want to have the Great Wall of China erected around my life and heart, keeping people out. I want to be tender to Jesus, and I want to be tender to the people around me. And I know you do too. Amen. Ecclesiastes 7:21-22, do not pay attention to every word that people say to you, or you may hear your servant cursing you. For you know in your heart that many times you yourself have cursed others. And so this is all talking about offense, but the thing that I was really honing in on and focusing on this week as far as offense and something that often triggers us and has been triggering us in society and in our American culture specifically is this little thing that I kind of find in the book of James. And it says in James chapter 1, verse 19, it says, so then, my beloved brethren, that's you, let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Come on, say slow to get angry. I feel like many times in my life, and many times in our fast-paced American culture, we don't listen, we speak quickly, and we get angry fast. Right? We don't listen. We just want to make our point. We want to get our two cents in, and we're not listening. But if you look at the life of Jesus, Jesus was asked 183 questions just in the Gospels. He was asked 183 questions. Here's God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He could have said anything, but you know how if you really break it down, he only answered directly three times. And you know how many questions Jesus asked back to people? He asked 307 questions. He would ask a question many times with their question. And so people were asking questions, and he would ask a question to them to go a little bit deeper. Why? Because Jesus, he didn't come on the scene and be like, I know what's right. You need to do what I'm doing, and you need to do my way. It's my way or the highway. No, he said, let's get a little deeper. I'm going to ask you some questions, and I'm going to listen. Come on, let's be like Jesus. Amen. And Jesus was slow to anger. He had many opportunities where people stabbed him in the back and where they treated him horribly. He had many opportunities to be so angry, and he refused. Let's be like Jesus. Say, be like Jesus. And this little thing, which is really a big thing, anger, anger leads to a spirit of offense. And anger unchecked leads to bitterness, and it leads to offense. And sometimes there's this thing, there's this hardness in our heart, and we can't get over it. But it started with a little bit of anger. And, you know, many times back in the day, like there was always little things that we'd get angry about. And there's always little things that I'd get angry about. And, you know, maybe somebody, so-and-so, didn't text you back on time. And you're like, ugh, kind of irritated, kind of angry. They didn't call you, or they did this, or they did that. Or, you know, it's like the person talking in the movie theater. You know, like, ugh, would they just be quiet? Or, you know, here's the unpardonable sin. Somebody answers their phone in the movie theater, and they proceed to talk and have a conversation, and everybody just like stops, and they're like looking at this person, and they're like, what? You know, I've been in those situations, and I could feel offense rising in me because I just paid such and such money, and I want to watch the movie, but there's always little things in the past that have made us, you know, get angry or get a little bit offended. But in our culture today, I mean, it's like magnified by 10 million. And we're offended at everything, and we're angry at everything, and in our culture, and everybody's canceling everybody because of they say this, or they do this, or they don't do this, and so you're canceled. Oh, you did an email 10 years ago, so you're canceled. You said something that was a little off color 10 years ago, 15, 20 years ago, so we're canceling you. And it's such a spirit that needs to be dealt with. And it's crept into the church, and we cancel each other, and we cut each other out of each other's lives, and we get angry at little things, and we get angry at big things. But Jesus said, and Jesus' half-brother, James, said, be slow to get angry. Say, slow to get angry. And I've been angry, and I don't know about you, but many times when I've been angry, I really feel like I'm right. How about you? Like, you just feel like, I know I'm right in my anger right now. I know that I'm going to win this argument, and they'll see it. They'll see that I'm correct, right? And so we think we are justified in our anger, but I love what it continues to say in James. It says, so my beloved brethren, let every man be quick to listen. Say, quick to listen. Slow to speak. And slow to anger. Verse 20, for the wrath of man, or another translation, the anger of man, does not produce the righteousness of God. The anger of man will never produce the righteousness that God is desiring out of your life. And so many times I get angry. I'm angry at politics. I'm angry at mandates. I'm angry at vaccine. I'm angry at so-and-so's stance. I'm angry at a million things. And a million people are angry at all kinds of stuff in the church. But human anger is never going to produce good fruit. Come on, I'm preaching better than you're responding today. You know, and we get offended, and we we get in arguments with each other, and we want to make our point. And so many people on social media, we have all these social media warriors, keyboard warriors, and they want to make their point. And it grieves me when there's so many Christians trying to make a point. Because that was never God's best, to make a point. His best is that we would make a difference. And the way that we begin to make a difference is to slow down. You know, there was a young man that grew up in this area that just passed away 2 weeks ago. And, you know, it was a really tragic, tragic situation. And, you know, he went through master's commission in this church, and all the details are still unfolding. We don't know exactly what happened, but it was just really sad. And I was talking to somebody that that knew him and was friends with him on social media, at least. And the guy, my friend, posted something, you know, political. And so the guy just started going off on him and cussing and just saying some mean things. And so my friend says, I'm blocking you. And then a couple days later, the guy is gone and he's dead. And not that that had anything to do with it, but I was just thinking that many times when people irritate us and when people offend us and we get so angry, many times we just need to stop and slow down and listen to them. Because really there's an internal cry. And there's something that's like crying out saying, listen to me, hear me, I'm hurting, I'm struggling, I need a brother, I need a sister, I need somebody to listen to me. Amen. And so God is calling us and requiring us and asking us to make a difference. And in order to make a difference, we've got to begin to slow down, be slow to anger, be slow to speak, be quick to listen. Come on. Yes. Amen. Yep. There's a scripture in, let's look at Matthew 22. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You will love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. This is it. This is the gospel. This is like you wrap it up. This is the most important thing. Love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. How are we supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves? Offer grace, offer mercy, offer compassion if we have bitterness and anger towards them. If we have anger towards our neighbor, our literal next-door neighbor, or a person that hurt us in the church or left the church or former leaders or whatever, if we have anger towards them, how do we begin to show grace towards them? And so we have to begin to ease up a little bit on this thing called anger. Hallelujah. You know, I was watching a little bit of this boxing match last week, and it was Tyson Fury. I don't know if you watch boxing at all, but it was really exciting, and it was a real knockout, and literally. But it went to like 10 or 11 rounds, and I love just watching boxers. Because usually there's always one of them that's just like got this chip on his shoulder and he's so mad. He's got something to prove. He's cussing. He's getting in the person's face even like before it starts. And then one of them is usually a little more calm and collected and kind of studying the other person. And that's typically the person that wins. The person that's full of anger, and probably Dominic can tell you all this. He's fought so many fights in karate, a world champion right here. And the person that's full of anger, full of rage, and full of emotion is not typically the person that will win. It's the person that is reserved, that is calm, that is collected, that has their emotions in check. Amen. And he did. And so this guy, Tyson Fury, he wins, and it was pretty awesome. And so he goes to the guy's corner, and the guy was just cussing, and he was all mad, and he wouldn't even like talk to him. And so Tyson's like, he says in the microphone, he's like, I'm gonna pray for your heart, brother. You know, I'm gonna pray that Jesus, you know, speaks to your heart. He's a Christian. Anyway, but we need to lead with love and not lead with anger. We can't lead our culture, and the church can't be leaders in the culture if we're leading the charge with anger and we're leading the charge with our pitchforks. We have to lead with love. Amen. And I want to give you two quick examples. This is not a long sermon today, but this two quick examples on how or ways that we can diffuse offense and begin to diffuse anger, a spirit of anger in our lives personally. And the first way is this. It's so good. And we've talked about this in weeks past, but it's lower your expectations on the people around you. Come on, somebody. Lower your expectations, because we have unmet expectations, we have unspoken expectations, and we have unrealistic expectations that we place upon people around us. We place upon our spouse, we place upon our coworkers, our friends, our church members, our kids, right? And this is not biblical. Unmet expectations. The person didn't live up or do what you thought in your mind and in your heart they should do. And so you get mad, you get angry, you get offended. The unspoken, you haven't even communicated a specific something to that individual, but yet you're believing that they're going to jump through these imaginary hoops. And you want them to live a life of perfection in your eyes, but you're not willing to do the same thing. That's unspoken. And then there's unrealistic. You know, we have these unrealistic expectations that we put on each other. And Jesus is like, just quit it. Offer mercy and offer grace. Let people off the hook sometimes. Hallelujah. That person might not call you on time. And you got to give a little grace. Maybe so-and-so is not going to respond to your text in 5 seconds. Give some grace. You don't know what's going on in their life. Maybe that somebody's going to forget your birthday. Give grace and don't get angry. Maybe somebody close to you is going to let you down when you need them the most. But give grace and let people off the hook. These unrealistic expectations only create a spirit of anger. And a spirit of anger leads to bitterness, and bitterness will lead to a spirit of offense. And a spirit of offense, once it traps you, it has you. Come on. So give grace and allow people to not be perfect in your story. Come on. You know, we talked about John the Baptist a couple weeks ago. And I love this story where Jesus kind of calls him out. Because John the Baptist had some expectations. And so he sends two of his messengers to when he hears that Jesus is in town. And so he says, go ask Jesus, are you the one that we're waiting for? Or maybe we seek another. And so Jesus just calls him on his stuff. And he's just like, tell him this is what's happening. The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame are walking, the poor have the gospel preached to them. And tell him this, tell John this, blessed is the one who is not offended by me. Boom.
Mic drop.
So I truly believe that John the Baptist was a man of God. He prepared the way, but he had some expectations on what he believed the kingdom of God should look like. He had some expectations on what he believed that Jesus' kingdom should look like when he came into the town. Maybe it meant destroying Rome and destroying everything, that all the political forces and powers, but that was not what Jesus was going to do at that particular moment. And so in his mind, he's getting a little bit offended, like, hey, you're setting those people free, but I'm in prison. Why am I free? I'm your cousin. Come on. Sometimes we get mad at and we get offended at God because it's not happening in our timing. Maybe somebody gave you a prophetic word, and we have to remember, with all prophetic words, people see in part and they prophesy in part. And there's nobody that is going to prophesy 100% accuracy all the time. And so you have to weigh it by scripture, and you have to weigh it personally. And sometimes people have prophesied over me, and my heart says yes, and it leaps. And then other times they prophesy, and I love the person, and half of what they say is super good, but then part of me is like, there's a check. And I'm just gonna shelf that a little bit. Come on. And so back to Jesus. Jesus was never shocked by people's situations. He was never shocked by people's sin. He was never shocked by what they did or what they did not do, right? How many love Jesus? Just so good. And I mean, think about the biggest story for me is the story of Peter. I love Peter so much. But here's Peter who says, Jesus, I'll never deny you. Jesus, I'm your man. I'll fight for you. I'll die for you. You know, he's getting all Brian Adams up on him. I will be here for you, Jesus. Nobody can take me away. And then just a couple chapters later, he's denying him. He's literally stabbing Jesus in the back. And Jesus didn't say, like, canceled. Peter, you're canceled. Peter, you're done. Other disciples, let me call you together. We're not going to associate with Peter anymore. I'm going to blast him on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. I'm going to let the world know that Peter is a failure. No, like, he didn't put that kind of expectation on Peter. He had mercy. He had grace. He realized that there's only one person. There's only one that is perfect in this story, and it is Christ alone. And Peter was not perfect, and so he was not expecting him to be perfect. And so he could offer grace, and he could offer mercy, and then he could offer restoration later in the story. And Peter became a powerhouse, and, you know, his shadow is healing people in the book of Acts. Like, I love his transformation. It's so beautiful. But I believe it all happened because Jesus didn't stop believing in him. He didn't just say, you're done, you're canceled, you screwed up, and now go off that way. No, he wasn't shocked by his sin. He wasn't shocked by his denial. He wasn't shocked by any of that. He just kept believing. He kept offering grace. And so we just need to offer a little bit of grace to each other. And that's how you begin to diffuse a spirit of anger. Come on. Lower the expectations on people. And then here's the next thing. And Patrick, we're just going to do one more point, say a couple things, and we're going to sing a song. We're going to be done. Hallelujah. But here's the second part. So first, you lower your expectations on other people. And number two, you need to raise your expectations on the goodness of God. Raise your expectations on God's grace coming upon your life in a supernatural way. Hallelujah. Raise your expectations for God to like supernaturally come through, break into our situations, break into our nation, break into our hearts, break into our families. Raise your expectation. I'm preaching way better than you respond. You know why we do that? Because it says, one of my favorite scriptures is found in Ephesians chapter 3, and it says this, Ephesians 3, Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. Yeah. To him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and forever. Amen. But listen to that. To him who is able, whatever you are thinking today, whatever your prayer request is today, whatever your hope is today, just rest in this, that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. And so we lower the expectation on people, but we raise the expectation on God. Why? Because he never lets us go. He never lets us down. He's a good father. And one way that you begin to raise your expectation on his goodness, on his grace, on his mercy, is by living a life of gratitude. Raise the bar of gratitude. That poster, it says, thankful hearts prepare the way. You want to walk in the supernatural, you begin to live with a thankful heart. You begin to take your little bit that could never feed a multitude and say, God, I thank you for my fish and two loaves. I thank you for this little bit that I have. And he multiplies it. He sends the supernatural down on your natural, on your thankful heart. And so gratitude raises the bar, and it raises that expectation inside of us. Hallelujah. I want to learn, and I'm trying to learn more and more, to let people off the hook and to keep my eyes on Jesus. To keep my heart focused on him. To keep my heart saturated in the presence of Jesus. Because we cannot attack this culture with anger. We cannot win the cultural war with anger. We will win with love. Because love will always push back fear. And there's a spirit of fear. There's a virus of fear that's been unleashed on the world. Unleashed on America. And we have to push that back with love, with grace, with mercy, with power. Hallelujah. I'm reminded of a story in the Bible where Jesus came to a woman who was caught in the act of adultery. And the Pharisees were very mad. And they had every right to be mad under the law. And under the law, she should be stoned to death. And so these Pharisees grabbed their rocks. And they weren't going to be small rocks, because they had to be rocks that could literally kill her and bury her. And so these religious men, they grab their rocks and they're about to kill her. And Jesus comes on the scene and he writes something in the sand. We don't know what he wrote, but some scholars and theologians say that he was beginning to write the sins of the Pharisees. All we know is that it freaked them out. And he said, you who are without sin, why don't you go ahead and cast the first stone? And they begin to drop their stones one by one. And they begin to walk away. And I've just found in my life, many times I've been unwilling to release the stone that I've been holding in my hand towards a brother or towards a sister, because the anger has been justified. Because they hurt me. They stabbed me in the back. They wronged me. They lied about me. They gossiped. And so I put a smile on, but in my heart, I'm holding my stone. And if they cause any trouble, I'm going to blast you. But this is not the kingdom of God. Jesus said, why don't you take the plank out of your own eye? And I feel like God wants us to be free today. Church of the Mountain, He wants us to be free. In California, we need to be free. Because we're in the midst of a cultural war. We're in the midst of a great battle. And if we're mad at each other, if we're mad at our spouse, how are we supposed to engage with the devil when we can't even make peace with the person that's closest to us? And so I believe as we begin to lower the expectations on people and we begin to keep our eyes on Jesus and raise the expectations on a good, good Father, you come and you drop the stone. And you no longer have anything to attack your brother and sister with. And you begin to become a safe place for people to get healed and restored and delivered. So Jesus, we just thank you for today. I thank you, Lord, for strategy and tools to walk free. I thank you, God, that every person in this room is diffusing the spirit of offense. God, that we are diffusing a spirit of anger, that we will not be an angry people, but God, we will be lovers, lovers of God, lovers of your people, lovers of the church. God, we will love what you love and we will hate what you hate. Father, I pray that you would baptize us today in your love. Baptize us today in your fire. Your all-consuming fire, God. Let it baptize our heart. Let it baptize our spirits. Let it baptize us from the inside out. God, that we would fully change. God, that we would never be the same. From this day forward, I pray right now for a baptism of love for every person in this room. Every person listening online, watching online, I pray for a baptism of love, that the offense that you've been holding on to and the rock that you've been holding on to, the unjust thing that was done to you from your father, from your uncle, from your mother, from your best friend, it is time to release it. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom. And so, Holy Spirit, I just pray, set your people free today. God, let an atmosphere of freedom just sweep through this house. Let an atmosphere of grace sweep through this house. God, an atmosphere of grace in Crowley Lake. Lord, that we would look at each other through the eyes of grace, not the eyes of canceling, not the eyes of condemnation, not the eyes of judgment, but God, the eyes of mercy, the eyes of the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the eyes of the Spirit, the eyes of faith, God. Let us look at each other with the eyes of faith. And those are eyes that lift. And those are eyes that compel. And those are eyes that launch people into destiny. And so, Father, I thank you for the gift of faith being released into this room right now. And for a greater measure of grace being deposited into our hearts and spirits right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And every lie that we've been believing about ourselves, every lie that we've been believing about our neighbor, about our spouse, we bind it up in Jesus' name and we kick it out in the mighty name of Jesus. I believe there's people right now in this room and listening to my voice. You've been believing lies about yourself. You look in the mirror and you don't like yourself. But when you curse yourself, you are cursing God. Because God said, I made you in my image. And I love how I made you. I love how I created you. I love every hair on your head. And when you curse yourself, you're cursing God. And so I want to encourage you today. Don't just have grace on others, but have grace on yourself. Look at your own life through the life of grace, the eyes of grace. Let yourself off the hook a little bit. Get all these expectations off of your own, off of yourself that you placed upon yourself since you were a little child. Allow yourself to be free today in the mighty name of Jesus. Come on. We're just going to sing a song real quick. And I just believe the Lord is working in this room and in our hearts. Many times God will continue working in the atmosphere of worship. And so if the Holy Spirit was ministering to you today and speaking to you, just stand up and reach your hands to heaven. And allow the Lord to do what only He can do.
Caught up in Your presence, I just want to sit here at Your feet. Caught up in this holy moment, never want to leave. And I'm not here for blessing. Jesus, You don't owe me anything more than anything that You can do. I just want You. I'm sorry when I've just gone through the motions. I'm sorry when I just sang another song. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to You. I'm caught up in Your presence. I just want to sit here at Your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. Never want to leave. And I'm not here for blessing. Jesus, You don't owe me anything more than anything that You can do. I just want You, You Lord. I just want You, nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do. I just want You, nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else, nothing else will do. Cause you're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, to you are all things. You deserve the glory. The glory forevermore, God. You deserve the glory, King of all. You deserve the glory. How great is our God. How great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. How great is our God. How great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. You're all I want. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Thank you, Lord, you are here. You're all I want. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Thank you, Lord, you are here. Thank you, Lord, you are here. You are for us, God. Oh, yes, you are for us, God. Thank you, Lord, you are here.
Let's just sing that chorus one more time. There is apostolic alignment happening in this room right now. When you speak those words, Jesus, you're all I want. Jesus, you're all I need. I believe that there is a chiropractic adjustment and shift happening in our spirits right now. It's coming back to the main thing. It's making the main thing again. Let's just sing that one more time.
You're all I want. You're all I've ever needed. You're you're all I want. Thank you, Lord, you are here. Thank you, Lord, you are here. Thank you, Lord, you are here.
Thank you, Lord, that you are here. God, I pray for an anointing in this house today. To break yokes, to break off lies, to push back the schemes and plans of the devil off of our families, off of our marriages, off of our children. God, I thank you for an anointing resting upon your people today. And Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that you told us in your word to be slow to speak, be quick to listen, and be slow to anger. And so, Lord, we want to do that. And we want to start with you. And we commit this day that we will listen to you. We won't just rattle off our prayer requests and our prayer targets, but God, we are a listening people. We are a listening people. Ha. And we love you, Jesus. We honor you. We worship you, King of kings and Lord of lords, King of the nations, King of heaven and earth, King over California, King over America, King over Puerto Rico, King over Mongolia, King over Africa. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. We bless your name in this house. And everybody said, amen, amen. God bless you. We'll just worship for a few more seconds. You're free to go. See you at 4 o'clock. Remember to tell somebody to be there. Amen. Love you guys.
I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do. I'm caught up in your presence. I just want to sit here at your feet. Caught up in this holy moment, I never want to leave. And I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't owe me anything. More than anything that you can do, I just want you. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want you. Only you, God. Only you, God, in my everyday. I just want you, only you, God, only you, God. my every day. I just want you, nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do. I just want you. The real thing, God, in my everyday, I just want you. Only you, God, only you, God, only you. I just want you. Real thing, Lord, in my everyday, I just want you. Where else would I want to be? Where else would I want to be than with you? Where else would I want to be? Where else would I want to be? Than with you.